sinks on overseas exchanges following Carter's message on anti-inflation program. Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty remains elusive. Damage rises from brush fires in Los Angeles. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. If today's performance of the U.S. dollar overseas can be taken as an indicator of a reaction to President Carter's anti-inflation program, then the reaction is resoundingly negative. The dollar fell to still another new low in Tokyo, just a shade over 180 yen. And Tom Fenton reports from Paris what's been happening in Western Europe.
It has been a disastrous day for the dollar on European money markets as bankers, businessmen, and speculators reacted with disappointment and skepticism to President Carter's anti-inflation plan. The dollar sank to record lows in a number of European countries, while gold climbed to a record high of more than $230 an ounce in London. There have been no official government comments yet, but unofficial comments indicate a high degree of skepticism about whether the Carter plan will be effective. Private bankers and economists had stronger words. One Paris banker called the plan simply window dressing. An economist summed up what seems to be the European consensus when he said it's the underlying economic situation in the United States, not guidelines, that will determine the inflation rate. In short, the Carter plan is not being taken seriously in Europe, and the money markets have already passed judgment. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Paris.
Here in the United States, there has been no great surge of enthusiasm for Mr. Carter's anti-inflation program, and Neil Strausser reports that the president may have had that in mind when he addressed the nation last night.
In advance, administration officials said this speech does not try to falsely raise expectations. And in fact, Mr. Carter seemed well aware of business and labor misgivings as he spoke.
This approach I've outlined will not end inflation. It simply improves our chances of making it better rather than worse.
The president said there is no single solution for inflation. His proposals, he said, were partial remedies. Some of them will help, he said. Some of them may not, but we have no choice. Among those remedies, voluntary wage price standards. A goal of no more than 7% increases next year for wages and 5.75% for prices. The government will monitor and publicize excessive increases in major industries and use its control over imports, purchasing, and other powers to reward those who observe the standards. And Mr. Carter made plain he intends the government to set the example. He proclaimed a time of national austerity, said 20,000 government jobs will be cut in the next few months, and for the first time publicly committed himself to holding the federal deficit under $30 billion next year. Bucking the tax-cutting trend, he said he will oppose further income tax cuts until inflation is brought under control. But officials did not rule out a possible rollback in the Social Security tax increases. For more on the program, here is White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint.
Parts of the president's program were clearly designed to please specific constituencies. For example, Mr. Carter proposed what he called a real wage insurance policy aimed at the skeptical labor unions. It would work this way if Congress approved. If a worker agreed to a 7% wage increase, then found that the rate of inflation was 8%, he or she would be eligible for a tax rebate of the difference, or in this case, 1%. Business and the conservatives are more apt to be pleased by his promises to push for deregulation of industry and for cuts in federal spending and the budget deficit. For the first time, President Carter pledged to bring the deficit to or below $30 billion in the next fiscal year. But the president also pleaded that his proposals not be criticized, declaring, if you pick them apart before they have a chance to work, you will have reduced their chance of succeeding. That may seem a bit unfair to some Republicans who are campaigning for election right now. They have been told, in effect, that they will be practically unpatriotic if they object to any part of Mr. Carter's anti-inflation program. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, the White House.
Former President Ford, who was quick to object, says voluntary controls don't work. Once you start down that road, you wind up with government controls. It may be good politics temporarily, Mr. Ford adds, but it's bad economics. Most labor leaders are withholding comment for the moment. Many business leaders approve Mr. Carter's plan to fight inflation by cutting federal spending.
Be right! They call me the Mad Hungarian. I'm Al Roprosky, and I pitch for the Kansas City Royals. I guess that's why the celebrity folks thought I'd be a natural to pitch their celebrity brand Hungarian sliced ham. And you know something? They've got themselves a real star. The ham, I mean. Celebrity Hungarian ham has a robust, zesty, old-world flavor. It's lean, luscious, and worlds apart in quality from your ordinary domestic hams. Yet it doesn't cost you any more. Celebrity Hungarian ham is yours for the asking, by the slice or by the pound, at the deli counter of your favorite market. Be sure to ask for it by name. Celebrity. The mad Hungarian couldn't throw you a better pitch.
You'll find Celebrity Hungarian ham in the deli department at selected Grand Union supermarkets. Ask for it by the slice or by the pound. Either way, once you taste Celebrity Hungarian ham, you'll know how one more reason there why they say you get good things at Grand Union. 8:05.
Hopes apparently remain high in Washington this morning for a swift conclusion of a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel. And yet, nagging uncertainties persist, as we hear from CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Cowell.
Officials say enough problems, questions, and difficulties have arisen to delay final agreement on a draft treaty until early next month. The bloom is definitely off the earlier optimism among Egyptians and Israelis that it could all be wrapped up by the end of this week. For example, there may be as many as 30 different economic issues that have not yet been settled, including the complicated negotiation over the price and distribution of oil from the Sinai. The Israelis are especially concerned about the enormous cost of dismantling settlements and bases in the Sinai, as required by this agreement, and building new ones in Israel. The cost for the U.S. could run higher than $3 billion, including normal economic and military aid. The Egyptians are especially concerned about tightening the link between this treaty and a solution to the Palestinian problem on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Still, despite these problems, officials on all three sides, the U.S., Egypt, and Israel, remain fairly confident the agreement will be reached and signed at a historic summit meeting next month. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
But Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin is now talking about the month after that. He says today in a newspaper interview that a treaty may be signed by December 17th, 3 months after the signing of the Camp David Accords. Begin called his cabinet into session this morning for a third round of debate on the proposed draft.
Come in, Johnson. What do you want?
Mr. Jones, I've come to give my notice.
Notice? Johnson, don't be ridiculous. You've got a family to support.
I've been working part-time with BPI. They trained me, I set my own hours, representing their new concept in vacations is fun, and I'm earning enough that I'm going full-time now.
Johnson, who get the reports out?
That's your problem, Jones.
To discuss what a position with vacation planning can offer you, call 758-1307.
Bob Harris, weather story for the New York region. A sunny, pleasant day. The high temperature about 66 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear and coolish. The overnight low, 46 to 51. Thursday, increasingly cloudy, breezy, and very mild. 64 to 69 degrees tomorrow. Showers developing late in the day and continuing tomorrow night. Friday, we think variably cloudy and cooler, 58 to 64. And at the moment, the weekend, partly sunny, breezy, and seasonable temperatures. Sunny in New York at 43 degrees, 8 minutes after 8.
The fires that ravaged up to 40,000 acres of brushland in the Los Angeles area are out now, for the most part, or under control. But David Dow reports that the damage toll keeps right on rising.
Fire officials now say that the worst of the fires, one that swept through 25,000 acres of the Santa Monica Mountains from the community of Agoura to the Pacific Coast, destroyed 161 homes and damaged 50 to 100 others, most of them expensive homes. Another fire farther south in the fashionable Pacific Palisades area damaged or destroyed at least 25 other homes. Officials say both fires have been dominated, and the last hot spots will likely be snuffed out this morning. Authorities believe that the Agoura fire, the worst of 12 in the last 2 days, was deliberately set. California Governor Edmund Brown Jr. has declared the fire zone a disaster area, making residents eligible for state aid. Meanwhile, the estimated 1,500 persons evacuated during the blazes have returned home, or at least those who had homes to return to. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The Los Angeles Times this morning says the crew of a Pacific Southwest Airlines 727 apparently lost sight of a small private plane just before colliding with it on September 25th over San Diego. The crash took 144 lives. The Times quotes unidentified officials who say they listened to a confidential cockpit tape recording of the crew's last words. A previously released FAA transcript of radio conversations between the PSA and the San Diego Control Tower did not contain everything said in the cockpit. The cockpit tape, according to the Los Angeles Times, indicates confusion over the whereabouts of the private plane.
Miss Pittman, I have some good news and some bad news.
What's the good news?
McDonald's has a new game where you can win up to $5,000 in cash and lots of food prizes.
What's the bad news?
It's called Menu Money Mania. I can't pronounce it.
It's McDonald's Menu Money Mania. It's tough to say, but it's easy to play. Just come into McDonald's and pick up your free game pieces. You can be an instant winner.
I'm going to McDonald's to play Menu Money...
That's Menu Money Mania.
That's easy for you to say.
McDonald's is making available $135,000 in cash and over $1 million food prizes. You can win an Egg McMuffin, a Big Mac, or up to $5,000 in cash. You could be a winner anytime you walk in. So get full details and your free game pieces at participating McDonald's. No purchase necessary.
Dolores, before we get married, I think you should know. I have Menu Money Mania.
You do?
I do.
I do.
I now pronounce you Man in Money. Menu Money.
You can be a winner right on the spot in I don't know.
Menu Money Mania. Catch it at McDonald's.
A high-ranking U.S. emissary is busy today in China. Nelson Benton tells us about him.
U.S. energy officials traveling with Secretary James Schlesinger say his mission to the People's Republic of China is designed to assure the Chinese on more than just energy matters, to dispel a climate of suspicion that began with the invasion of Korea, one source said. These officials expect other issues to arise after Schlesinger returns to Peking from a tour of several major industrial and oil production facilities. Schlesinger will not discuss normalization of U.S. relations with the People's Republic, however, the sources said. Despite the preliminary nature of the Schlesinger talks with Chinese leaders, American officials here see this showing of a flag as a significant step in Sino-American relations. It is one in a current series of trips here by members of the Carter cabinet. Agriculture Secretary Bob Berglund is due here before Schlesinger leaves, and a mission by Commerce Secretary Juanita Kreps is expected later on. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Peking.
China's Vice Premier Deng Xiaoping, now in Tokyo, told reporters there today that talks on normalizing Chinese-U.S. relations are proceeding in line with the Shanghai communique signed by President Nixon in 1972. But U.S. ties to nationalist-held Taiwan remain a problem. Deng said China still insists on withdrawal of American troops from Taiwan, severance of U.S. diplomatic relations with the nationalist government, and abrogation of the U.S.-Taiwan Security Treaty. Syrian troops and Christian militiamen exchanged fire again in Beirut during the night. 4 civilians were killed, 9 wounded. Further strain on the ceasefire.
At Sims, you'll never see the word sale. This is Cy Sims. Thanks to you, Sims represents, at off price, over 200 world-famous brand names in ladies' and men's clothing. We protect the manufacturers we represent by never using their names in advertising. In our stores, their label is on the garment when you make your purchase. This means you can always buy men's current, nationally advertised $185 all-wool vested suits for $98. Ladies' $100 designer dresses for $59. $20 designer shirts for $9.99. There's never a reason for a sale. Sims is in Manhattan at 45 Park Place, just west of City Hall, in Long Island on the Long Island Expressway, exit 37, in Bergen County, Route 17, in Woodbridge, Route 9. At Sims, an educated consumer is our best customer.
Sims Suburban Stores open till 9 o'clock at night, 14 minutes after 8 in the morning on Wednesday, the 25th day of October, at News Radio 88 WCBS.